Philippians chapter 3 and the verse 20 is the text tonight, particularly the first part, but all the verse is relevant. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation is a word that frequently is used in the New Testament scriptures. And the word conversation, the old English word conversation, does not just mean speech. We give it that meaning now, it is a more restricted meaning now, and whenever we talk about someone's conversation, we generally just mean their speech. But whenever the Bible was translated, the English had a wider meaning. And it included speech, but it also meant our outward conduct, our whole behavior. And so whenever we talk about our conversation in the Bible talks about your conduct, how you behave, how you live, including how you speak. And so the word conversation we meet frequently in the New Testament. But the word conversation here in our text is not the usual Greek word that occurs in the New Testament scriptures. It's a special word. It's a different word. In fact, it only occurs in this noun form in this particular verse. And the word here does not only mean our conduct, but it means particularly our conduct and our lifestyle as citizens of heaven. And so the verse means, for our citizenship is in heaven. The word here is related to citizen. You remember how Paul said that he was a citizen of Cilicia. And that's a noun that is related to this word here also. So it's a word that refers to our citizenship. It is not just our behavior, but it is our behavior as citizens of heaven. And that's interesting. That's very special. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that word, the Philippians, as we'll see, could understand. They understood that word because of their particular position as a Roman colony, as we'll see in a little moment. Our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. But I want you to think about the context, first of all. The word for, it means that we can't divorce this phrase, our conversation is in heaven. We can't divorce it from the context. And the word for we have to think about at the moment. And the word for could be linked to verse 17. And our translators, you will see, they've put 18 and 19 in brackets, a parenthesis. And the word for then would be connected to verse 17. Brethren, be followers of me, Paul says. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example, for our citizenship is in heaven. Paul says, follow us, follow me, follow us the apostles, because our conduct and our behavior is as those who belong to heaven. So follow us, he says, for our conduct is heavenly. But then on the other hand, we could connect it to verses 18 and 19 as well, where Paul speaks about the enemies of the cross. He speaks about those whose glory is in their shame. He speaks about those whose God is their belly, who walk in the world, who live for the world, who mind earthly things. But our conversation as Christians is in heaven. In other words, we're not minding earthly things the way they are. And God isn't our belly the way God is their belly. They're earthly minded. But our behaviour is the behaviour of those who know that they are citizens of heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. I prefer this latter way of linking the word for and comparing it with the worldling and with those who have their walk below. Our citizenship is in heaven. So what we really have then is not just a description of the Apostle Paul and the Apostles, but what we have in our verse then is a description of all Christians. Contrary to the worldling, contrary to the ungodly, all Christians can say our conversation is in heaven. It's not in the world. It's not in the earth. It's not earthbound at all. It's heavenly. Our conversation is in heaven. So there's something radically different about a Christian, isn't there? A Christian should stand out different. They're citizens of heaven. That's what Paul is saying here. We are members of a heavenly commonwealth. We're aliens in this land. Members of a kingdom that is not of this world. Our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. And so our theme tonight is Christians, citizens of heaven. I want you to notice, first of all, that this citizenship of the Christian is a present privilege of believers, and not just a future one. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. He's speaking about the present. He doesn't say our citizenship shall be in heaven. He doesn't say we're going to heaven and one day we'll be in heaven and one day we'll be citizens of heaven. No, he says we are now. Our conversation is in heaven now. He's thinking about something present, something that is already existing. The word is a very strong word. It's not the ordinary word to be. It's very often it's translated being. Our conversation being in heaven. You have the verb translated thus in chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord Jesus, who being in the form of God, he is being in the form of God. He has been in the form of God, and he is being in the form of God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's God. He has his being in the form of God, and Christians have their being. Their citizenship has existence. It's a present reality. If we only but saw it, it's a present reality now in heaven. Do you know how the Bible says, being Jews? That's the same verb. You will remember also how Paul, whenever he was at Philippi, you remember how he was persecuted there. We read about that in Acts chapter 16 and the verse 21. We read that the people of Philippi were saying concerning the apostles that they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The same verb there, not the ordinary verb to be, but being Romans. And then again, at the end of the chapter, you'll remember how Paul, whenever he was imprisoned and they were going to let him go, he said, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. And that sends shudders through the people of Philippi, because Philippi was a Roman colony. Its citizens were citizens of Rome. It had special relationship to Rome. Not every city was a colony of Rome. There were special strategic cities that were selected, and everybody in it was a special citizen of Rome and had privileges of Rome, had the laws of Rome, had the language of Rome, Latin. And whenever Paul said to the Philippians, we've been condemned, being Romans, it sent shudders through them that they had been treated thus and cast thus into prison by the Philippians. And so Philippi knew what this meant. Our conversation being in heaven. A British citizen does not need to be in Britain to have his British citizenship. The fact that a British citizen might be in another country doesn't change the fact he's a British citizen. And whenever it says a Christian has his citizenship, his conversation in heaven, it doesn't mean he has to be in heaven, literally, physically, or even spiritually. He doesn't have to be there. He's a citizen. Well, yes, we're outside heaven now. We're in a strange land. We're foreigners in the earth. But nevertheless, we're heavenly citizens. We have our citizenship in heaven. It's something we have now. We've been translated, the Bible says, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's marvelous Son. We're heavenly citizens. Our conduct, our heavenly conduct, is that belonging to another realm. We behave as those that belong to a heavenly kingdom. And so you see, this citizenship is a present privilege of believers, not just a future one. And you, child of God, need to remind yourself about this. You need to think about your citizenship. That's why you cannot behave like those who are the enemies of the cross. That's why you can't let God be your belly. And that's why you can't glory in your shame. And that's why you can't mind earthly things the way the sinner does. Because you're a citizen of another world. That's a present reality. Our citizenship is in heaven. And this citizenship, brethren and sisters, we have to remind ourselves, it's something that has been bestowed upon us by divine grace. It's something that we have been brought to enjoy. We're not naturally born citizens of heaven, you know. We're not naturally born into the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible teaches quite the reverse. We're naturally born into the kingdom of darkness. We are citizens of the world by nature. We belong to the kingdoms of the devil by nature. The Bible says, by nature, the children of wrath. Not the children of the King of Glory, not the children of heaven at all, but the children of wrath. That's what we are by nature. The Bible says that in our natural state, we are strangers and foreigners to God's commonwealth. We're outside the commonwealth, and we're in the domain of darkness. But God has done something to the child of God. God has conquered the Christian. God has come into the kingdom of darkness, and he's taken hold of one who was a subject of the kingdom of darkness, and he's conquered him by his grace, and he's wrenched him out of the kingdom of darkness, and he's translated him into the kingdom of his own marvelous light. There's been a conquest of the Christian. He's been conquered by grace. He's been won by the King of Glory. The King of Glory has come into the kingdom of the enemy, and he snatched his captives and set them free. And that's what's happened to us as the people of God. The Lord Jesus has conquered us by his grace. And so we are citizens of heaven by conquest. But we're also citizens of heaven by new birth and by regeneration. Yes, we have been born into the kingdom of heaven, not by nature, but by regeneration, by rebirth. Except you be born from above, the Bible says, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. One has to be regenerated to be a child of the kingdom. Ye must be born again. And so the Christian is one who has not gone just through a procedure to be a citizen of heaven. He's not just gone through a legal process and got some naturalization papers. No, foreigners can do that. They can go through a legal process. Foreigners from another land, they can go through a legal process. They can get the papers and they can become citizens of Britain. Foreigners have become British. But very often foreigners who have become British hate the British culture, the British way of life. In fact, several years ago we had a case of people who blew themselves up and blew others up as well. And they were British citizens. They had the papers of British citizens, but they didn't have the heart of British citizens. They didn't have the nature of British citizens. They didn't behave as British citizens. That doesn't happen in God's kingdom. No, whenever God makes people citizens of his kingdom, he gives them the nature to go with it. He gives them the heart for it as well. And he regenerates them from above. And he not only legally makes them citizens of heaven by a legal process called justification, but he also makes them citizens by a process called regeneration. He gives them the heart of citizens so that every one of them can say proudly and gladly, our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we're strangers on the earth. Our heart is not here for the world anymore. Our heart is lost for the world. We've been born again. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our names are enrolled above. You'll know how Paul says there in verse 3. He says, whose names are in the book of life. Every city had a book of citizens, those who were enrolled as citizens. It was recorded somewhere that they were citizens of Philippi. Their name was in the book. And the child of God has become a citizen of the kingdom not only by conquest, not only by new birth and regeneration, but he's become a citizen of heaven by enrollment. God has put his name in the book of heaven, in the Lamb's book of life. His name is in heaven. Though he is not yet himself in heaven, he can be sure his name is in heaven. Rejoice, the Lord Jesus said, that your name is written in heaven. You are citizens of above. And we are citizens of heaven by divine authority and by divine right, because the Bible says, to as many as receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to them give he the power and the authority to become the sons of God. And so the child of God, by all these ways, has become a citizen. And it's all through grace. His name has been put in the Lamb's book of life by grace. The Lord Jesus came into his life and conquered him by grace. And the Lord Jesus gave him new birth from above by grace. And the Lord Jesus gave him the authority to become a child of God by grace. Our citizenship is one bestowed by divine grace. But then, thirdly, in this citizenship, we have allegiance to one king and to one head only. The citizen of heaven is one who eyes the king of heaven. You see it in our text, our conversation, or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one in the heavenly kingdom that the Christian is always looking to, always looking for, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has an allegiance to Christ. That allegiance is in his heart. The new birth brings this allegiance. Grace brings this allegiance to Christ. If there's one thing that marks a true citizen of heaven, whatever his language on earth, whatever his culture and background on earth, wherever part of the world we come from, there's this that marks every true Christian, without exception. This is how we recognize one another. We go to a strange land we don't know anybody about, but we recognize allegiance to Jesus Christ and we say he's a Christian. That's the thing that stands out about us all. There's this looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this loyalty to the King, just as a British citizen has loyalty to the Queen and loyalty to the Constitution and loyalty to the throne, so the citizens of heaven have a loyalty to the throne of glory and to him who sits thereon, even the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven is our Lord. Do you know what the new birth does? The new birth is described in the Bible as, I will give them a heart to know me. And the word know me is not just a knowledge there, it includes that, but it particularly is a love. I'll give them a heart for me. A heart to know me and a heart to love me. And that's something that distinguishes the citizen of heaven. He's a love for the King. He's a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see those in verses 18 and 19. They have no allegiance to Jesus Christ. They are enemies of the cross. God is their belly. They just live for themselves. And their glory is in their shame. And all their mind is on earthly things. But the child of God is different. His citizenship is in heaven. His heart is in heaven. And his mind is on better things. And his affections are on better things. Upon the King. Upon the Saviour. And while it's true he lives on the world now, and he's a foreigner and an alien and in the world, he's always thinking of home. And he's always thinking of the King at home, the King of glory, from whence we look for the Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is supreme in the light of the Christian. He's always considering the Saviour. The first thing is to know the Saviour and to please him and to do his will. You will notice that Paul doesn't say, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for God. Oh, he could have said that. But no, he puts in the person in particular who is dear to him, the person who bought him, the person who conquered him, the person who came for him, the person who's coming again for him. And so he puts in all the words. He puts in his office. He puts in his supremacy. He puts in his names. Our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the child of God has a fondness Christ. That's the proof that one is a citizen of heaven. And in this citizenship, we are given glorious privileges as well as very weighty responsibilities. Let us think about the privileges of a citizen of heaven, first of all. The one who can say our citizenship is in heaven. He has mighty, mighty privileges. Just like we as British citizens, whenever we go into a foreign land, it is assumed that we have great privileges as British citizens. The whole kingdom is behind us, maybe not so much today, but years ago there was what was called gunboat diplomacy in the British Empire. And if there was a British citizen in any part of the empire that was in trouble, the whole Royal Navy could nearly be depended upon to be at the borders of that country if it was surrounded by sea for that citizen. And that country and nation would know how to treat that citizen because he was a British citizen. And no one touched a British citizen in the British Empire because the whole wrath of the British nation would fall upon that kingdom. The British citizen years ago had great privileges, and to some extent also today, but I tell you this, all the privileges of a citizen of heaven. To one who bears the name of a child of God, to one who belongs to the King of the greatest and the most powerful kingdom in the universe, to one whose conversation is in heaven. All the privileges that that man or that woman enjoys are immeasurable. I can only mention very briefly some of the privileges that a citizen of heaven has. One of the privileges that a citizen of heaven has is audience with the King. Well, we can come before the King at any time. A citizen can do commerce with its homeland freely. And we as citizens of heaven, though we're in a strange land, a foreign land, we have commerce with heaven. We have an audience with the King. We have communication back home with the Lord. And so one of the privileges that we have as those that belong to the kingdom of heaven is an audience with the King. Let us come boldly onto the throne of grace. Child of God, you're a citizen of heaven. The throne of grace should not seem an alien and a foreign place to you. You're welcome there. You belong to the Lord. You have your citizenship in heaven. You're enrolled in heaven above. You have an audience with the King. You ought not to neglect the throne of grace. Enjoy your privilege and go into your King's presence and bring before him your needs and tell him of your troubles and trials in this foreign land, and tell them of those that you live amongst who trouble you. Bring it to your King. He wants to hear. He wants to know. He wants to be informed. And so we read in the Psalms, from the end of the earth, whatever the furthest country I go to and I find myself, I'll call upon the Lord. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have the privilege of an audience with the King of Glory. And we have also the privilege of the sovereign protection of the King. We're under his watchful eye. He loves us. He cares for us. He listens to reports of how we're treated in foreign lands and nations. His wrath be stirred up that the citizens of this world hate us and persecute us. And so he has a watchful eye upon us and listens to information of how we're getting on in the foreign land where we live. And he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says to us, the very hairs of your head are numbered. All the forces of heaven are at our disposal because we belong to the Lord. Whenever a citizen was in trouble, the Navy of Great Britain went to their defense. And I tell you, when a citizen of heaven is in trouble, there's an army goes to our defense. Angels, ministers of God, who minister unto them who are the heirs of salvation. You remember how the prophet, when everything looked so bleak, and a servant couldn't see it, and the prophet said, open your eyes, and they were surrounded by a heavenly host of angels. The King had sent his army for the defense of his servant. Yes, we are a spectacle unto angels, and angels are in our presence, and angels are sent to be ministers for our good and for our benefit. And we do not know the things that angels have done for us and yet shall do for us, because we are citizens of heaven and all the army of heaven is at our disposal. What a privilege to belong to the King. Concerning us, his citizens, the King says, it's better for a millstone to be hung about the neck of a man who harms a child of God, and that man to be cast into the depths of the ocean. Yes, the privilege of a Christian. And then we have an internal inheritance laid up for us. A heaven above. Like the fathers of old, we look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This world is not our home, we're just a passing through. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning those early fathers. They desire a better country, that is in heavenly. God hath prepared for them a city. Oh, the privilege of a child of God. What God has laid up for you in glory, I have not seen. Ear have not heard. It hasn't even yet entered into your heart. What God hath laid up and prepared for you, the citizen of his kingdom, to you who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what is laid up at home for us. It is true, we cannot fully enjoy it at present. We are not yet in the midst of it in all its fullness. But there it is, our conversation. being in heaven. But then there's something very special that awaits the citizen of heaven. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for us. He's coming into this world. He's going to take us out of the midst of foreigners and strangers and going to bring us home at last. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He has a seat in glory. We are not yet there, but we're looking for Him. He's coming to take us home, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And there is this also, this glorious privilege at last for the people of God, verse 21, who when He does come, when He does appear, shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Oh, the privileges of one who can say, our citizenship is in heaven. There are not only our blessed privileges, there are our responsibilities as well. Citizens have to behave in a certain way. Things are expected of any citizens. Any citizen of Britain, he's expected to conduct himself in a certain way. He's expected to behave in a certain way. He's expected to show reverence for the throne and for the constitution. He's expected to pay his taxes and keep the laws of the kingdom and the laws of the land and the laws of the nation. Being a citizen of the nation, he is thus expected to live. And our citizenship is in heaven, and we are expected to behave in a certain manner and in a certain way. We are expected to live as those who are the citizens of heaven. We must remember in our responsibility several things. We must never forget, first of all, that we are strangers and pilgrims here. Here we have no continuing city. They have to say, here we have no continuing city. Here we don't feel at home. Here we're strangers. Here we're pilgrims. Here we don't really fit in. And the child of God has to say that as he lives on the earth. He is a citizen of heaven. He's a heart for Christ. He's a heart for heavenly things. And he sees the world here, the whirling, their gods are belly, and they're always minding earthly things. And the child of God cannot but feel a stranger and a foreigner and a pilgrim, and he can never feel at home. He sees the dangers of this world. He sees the evils of this world. And he maintains his separate identity in this world. And he doesn't mix and he doesn't blend in with the world. He can't. He's an alien. And he has a different nature altogether. A different creed, a different God. And he can't fit in and he can't mix. He has to maintain his separate identity. Child of God, you're a citizen of heaven. You can't mix with the world. You can't blend in with the world. It won't happen. It shouldn't happen. You have another nature, another God. You have other ambitions. You have other ends. You have other goals. You have a greater destiny. For your citizenship is in heaven. And here we have no continuing city. The Lord Jesus told us to expect that the world would hate us. And we wouldn't fit in with the world. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, for example, and verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world will not love the child of God. The world will hate the child of God because the child of God is different. And the world doesn't like someone different. And so you will find this hatred to the Christian. This opposition. We must remind ourselves, we are pilgrims. And we must keep our separate identity. That's our responsibility. And then we have to remember also that we are to be good ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We should live as citizens of heaven. We should stand out as different. Our lives should conform to the glory of heaven. Our lives should bespeak and betray us that we belong to heaven. Whenever a foreigner comes amongst us, his speech betrayeth him that he does not belong to this nation. And so we, whenever we go to another country, our speech betrays us that we're British. And we, as the citizens of heaven, we should betray ourselves by our speech. We should betray ourselves by our conduct. We should stand out as different. We should have some of the glory of heaven. What's glorious about heaven? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of heaven. We should be like him. We should be like our King. And should display some of that glory of heaven on earth by being like Christ. Holiness is the glory of heaven. And we should be holy citizens. We should have holy lives. And another characteristic and joy of and glory of heaven is joy. Heaven is a place of wonderful joy. And the child of God should be joyful. We should be joyful citizens. And then the Lord Jesus Christ particularly emphasized that aspect to us when he said, rejoice. Not that you're being successful in the work of God and you're seeing some results, but he says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Be glad about that. We should be happy citizens. We should manifest the joy of the Lord. And that's something that should stand out about us in the world. They should see that we're joyful. You know, the world looks at the child of God and sees a big, dull, sad, gloomy face. And then they begin to think they mustn't be very glad to serve their king. Their kingdom mustn't be a very happy kingdom. No, we should have joy. And then we are to keep the laws of the kingdom as well, aren't we? Because every kingdom has laws. There never was a kingdom that was founded without laws. There are laws in our nation, and as British citizens, we have to keep them. We certainly are not to be treacherous to the laws, and we're not to be treacherous to Her Majesty or to the Constitution. But I tell you this, we are to keep the laws of the kingdom of heaven, and we're certainly not to be treacherous to the King. We're not to betray him. We're not to be enemies of the cross of Christ. And our belly's not to be our God, and our shame is not to be our glory, and our mind's not to be in earthly things. No, we are to keep the laws of the kingdom of heaven, and to serve the God of heaven, and pay our taxes to the God of heaven, and give him our due. We're to do it because we're his citizens. We're to keep the Ten Commandments. You know, there are two great mounts upon which the laws of the kingdom were revealed. There was the Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, and there was the Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament. They're all the laws of the kingdom. They're how the citizens of the Lord Jesus ought to behave. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we ought to live in a certain way, in a certain manner, and we ought to keep the laws. And then we ought to be good ambassadors for that kingdom. Christ-like, holy and happy, and keeping all the laws of the kingdom, we should by all means promote that kingdom and extend that kingdom and get more citizens into that kingdom and pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the citizen's prayer. Thy will be done here as it is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Not to seek first popularity. Not to seek first property. Not to seek first honors or advantage. But as citizens of heaven, we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And lastly, as citizens of heaven, it is our responsibility to be watching and waiting for the Lord from heaven We should be expecting him to come. We should be longing to go home. We should be very weary in this world. Just as you go away abroad, you go away on a holiday for a couple of weeks, you're just glad to get back home. We've been in this world for years. We ought to be weary. You know, Bunyan in his book has a character called Mr. Weary of the World. We as Christians should be that. Weary of the world. Weary of the strife. Weary of the sin. Weary of the apostasy. And looking for the Lord of heaven to come and to just take us home. Are you longing for home, brother? Are you expecting his return, sister? Are you Mr. Weary of the world? If you are, you're one whose citizenship is in heaven of a truth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Are you a citizen of the King? Do you have the heart of a Christian? Do you have love for the Savior? Do you have allegiance to Jesus Christ? Are you keeping all the laws of the kingdom? Are you extending the kingdom? Our citizenship is in heaven.